Preacher, if you'd read 1 John 2, verse 8 through 17. Appreciate it.
And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Thank you, Brother
Mike. Father, we love you today. We thank you for this time together. Help us now these few minutes. I pray you get the honor and the glory out of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach on a thought this morning that God has laid on my heart the last couple of days out of 1 John 2 on the world of worldliness. The world of worldliness. Now, you'll notice that he said in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, the day you got saved, there's some of you here this morning, you've never made a decision to ask Christ to come into your life and be your Savior. And I want to let you know, you're going to die and go to hell without Jesus. There's no middle ground. You're either saved or you're lost. You can't work your way in. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. We must trust Christ as our Savior. The day we got saved, we had a decision to make. That decision involved two items. Number one, would we be saved and live for God? Or number two, would we be saved and act like the world? Now, I believe there's a lot of folks saved. Matter of fact, I believe when you get saved, you make a change. But there's no doubt that in our Bible, we have many characters that the world got them. And therefore, in this world of worldliness, I want you to notice these discoveries of a Christian life. And when you got saved, you really didn't know there was a devil before you got saved. But after you got saved, it dawned on you that there was not only a God that saved you, but there's a devil that's going to fight against you. Now, we have three enemies once that we're saved. First of all, there is an external enemy. It's the world. The world is a system. So we have a external enemy against us. It's the world. Number two, we have a internal enemy. It's the flesh. We've all got that. And then thirdly, we have the infernal enemy. It is the devil. Now, as Christians, we must decide which world we're going to live for. Matter of fact, I think a lot of folks many times have become confused of saying a little prayer or a little poem or giving a preacher their hand and joining up with the church. Listen to what this Bible says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, I think a lot of times that the devil, he's so subtle, he brings us into worldly living. So as Christians, we must decide and determine which world are we going to live for. Now listen, it's possible to have been having a saved soul. Listen to me now, don't get confused. It's possible to have a saved soul, but a lost life. And I want to back that up with Scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Let's get 12. It's so good above it. Let's get it all. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, or it shall be revealed. This is at the judgment seat of Christ. Your sins will not be judged here. Jesus took your sins if you're saved. That's the great white throne judgment. The child of God will not stand in judgment with God at the great white throne judgment. But we that are born again by the grace of God will all stand here individually at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus hung on the cross and took our sin debt. I'll never have to stand for my sin that have put me in hell no more. Jesus took all my sin. Now I'm in Christ. He's in me. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. But I'm going to give an account in my life what I have done, whether it has been good or whether it has been bad. I'm going to give an account for what I've done since I've been saved. It has to do with crowns, what we'll receive at that day. Now watch, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon. Let me tell you, you can't build on nothing till you get on the solid rock and the right foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about once you get saved and you get on the foundation. He said that you shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, watch, he shall suffer loss in eternal world, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Watch, know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I believe God will call you home. You get out there playing in sin. You get so wicked. God can't get your attention. Let me tell you, I believe that God can call you out of this walk of life and you're saved. Now we're going to stand before the judgment bar of God. And if there's anything what I'm fixing to preach to our church this morning that I've noticed here in years of ministry, worldliness is so subtle. I look around today at ministries and churches that used to preach a King James Bible, This was their format when you come to church. We had singing, we had praying, we had preaching, we had altar time, we took up an offering, and we went home. And let me tell you, all that still works this morning. But the world has become so infiltrating in our Christian walk of life. Many times we don't even discern what is the world or what is spirit. I believe today that this thing of the world of worldliness, we must remember there is an external enemy. There's a system, the world system. There's an internal enemy, the flesh of what I hate. I hate what is in me sometimes. The closer I walk with God, many times, the more this wants to resist. Then we have an infernal enemy, the devil. Now, we have a decision once we're saved. I don't believe you can go back and hear me well. I believe I've got Bible to back this up this morning. Anybody that's ever been saved by the grace of God can get out and play in sin and it don't bother them. They've never got saved. The Holy Ghost of God lives in us and now He convicts us and He conforms us to the image of His Son. I want to ask you this morning, who are you living for? It's possible to have a saved soul but a lost life. You see, many times there's things that don't disturb us that ought to disturb us. I want to mention a few. Which disturbs you most? We talk about, well, you know, I've heard this say a lot of times, I'm not going down there at that preacher because he disturbs me. I'm not going down there to that church. It disturbs me. Well, let me tell you, when we get around God and we're not right with Him, it ought to disturb us. But if we are right with God, we ought to welcome His presence and enjoy His presence. His presence would not disturb us if we got right with Him. Now I want to say this morning, what disturbs you most? A soul lost in hell or a scratch on your car? You missing a worship service or missing your sporting event? What bothers you the most? Your church not growing or your garden and plants not growing? What bothers you most? Your Bible unopened or your Facebook page unopened? What disturbs you most? Missing your Bible class or your favorite TV program? What disturbs you most, your tithes decreasing or your income decreasing? I've always wanted to make more so I could give more. Are you living for time or eternity? Let me ask you this, are you living for self or for God? There's so many selfish people. You know, I always some folks is here this morning because they need to hear this preaching. I've noticed two or three ain't here and needs to hear this right here. But the reason people get offended is because they think too much of themselves and they think they're a princess and somebody ought to roll the red carpet out when they pull up on the property. It ain't no princesses in ministry. And many times we live for self instead of for the Savior. Now, I want to say this. Are you living for self? Or are you living for God? I go to places, and I've talked about this a lot. as a norm. People ain't got meeting God on their mind. People don't have God in their thinking process as a norm. So, are you living for self or for God? Has the world, let me ask you this, and putting me with everybody, I don't believe in a preacher and the people. A lot of men do. I got issues too. I got family too. But I want to ask y'all something as Liberty Baptist Church, as its preacher this morning. Has the world infiltrated our lives into such an extent that God don't matter? You see, the devil is so subtle in his approach, we become unconsciously more like the world. Worldliness is not so much a matter of activity as it is of attitude. You see, it's possible for a Christian to stay away from questionable amusements and doubtful places and still love the world. For worldliness, and you always remember this, is a matter of the heart. Now, I want to preach 3 points. I'll be done this morning. I want to talk about, first of all, the information of worldliness in 1 John 2 and 15. 1 John 2 and 15, the information of worldliness. What is worldliness and what ain't worldliness? I want to say, first of all, that here as John is in this text, the 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This world is, this word is cosmos. It does not mean physical world or our creation world. Jesus has made some pretty things. When y'all leave this morning, I want to challenge you to do something. When you pull out of this entrance or that entrance, I want you to look over here on the front of the church at this maple tree of what God has done to it the last week. It is absolutely breathtaking beautiful. God's creation is gorgeous. We're not to worship creation. We're to worship the Creator. There's a lot of tree huggers. They'd kill 500 babies, but they wouldn't let you cut a tree down. But I will say this morning, it does not mean the physical world. I want you to look at this, and maybe in your Bible devotions you'll look at this week. Look in Psalms 19, what David said about our creation. And it means so much. Yesterday, me and Miss Renee got out, and we rode around just enjoying what God has did with his handiwork. And I want you to look, you've heard this a lot. I want you to know where you can find it in your Bible. Psalms 19, verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Isn't it amazing the way God just took a big old brush and swiped these mountains? I mean, it's my favorite time of the year. I mean, it is such a beauty to behold of what God has done in creation. So here is he saying, love not the world. He's not talking about the physical world. And then we got sense enough to know this. He's not talking about the populated world. We're not to hate nobody. God loves humanity. You know how much God loved you, friend? He gave his son to die for you. We're not to hate the physical world or the populated world. God loves people. As a matter of fact, He teaches us something in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6 and verse number 10. Look what God says in Galatians 6 and verse number 10. It's a verse that we've really tried to build this ministry upon. As we have, therefore, opportunity. Let us do good, watch, unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So, the information of of worldliness. It's not the physical world. It's not the populated world. But it is the world which John is writing in cosmos, and it means a system. It simply means a order or a arrangement of things. And Satan is the prince of this world. In John 14 and verse number 30, which you'll notice here what the Bible says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you," is what Jesus said, "for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Satan is the prince of this old world. There is a system. He's ruling and he's operating. And so here, John is writing, not about a physical world or a populated world, but he's talking pretty much about the political world, to be honest with you. A system and arrangement. The way that the world does things. It can be from your job to your community to government. All the way to the top to the bottom. There is a system. And so, we see there we have information of worldliness. Now, I want to give you this definition that you can remember. What is worldliness? It's anything that cools my love for Christ. Worldliness is anything that cools my love for Christ. It's living for this world instead of the world to come. It's living for this world instead of the world to come. Brother David said it right this morning, leaving, singing, heaven's going to fix all this. And so, worldliness is anything that keeps me from loving the Lord as I ought to love Him and from doing the will of God as I ought to be doing it. The information of worldliness. Number two, the infiltration of worldliness. Now, there's a process this world employs. I want you to notice the process the world has. Now, first of all, there's communication with the world. When we live in the world, there is a process that this old world employs. And it's communication. It will try to get you to be friendly with the world. It'll try to get you to take the course of least resistance. This is what they say. Don't you be a holy Joe. Don't be a stick in the mud. In other words, communication, a subtle approach. Just don't stand up against nothing. Just let everything flow. And what's the bother? Well, why you want to stand up and go against the world? I'm glad we had some forefathers would stand up and go against the world. And I guarantee you, in the old days, our policemen wouldn't be getting killed by all these riots going on because they'd have brought law and order in our streets and they would have held the law of the land. It's a sad day when we can't go to a place we'd like to eat without having to carry a gun in and put down by your salad bar. The infiltration of worldliness. Process the world employs. The process is communication. It'll try to get you friendly with the world. Number two, contamination. You see, if you get too friendly with the world, always remember this, you're going to get dirt on you. Some of y'all will get that tomorrow. But if you get too friendly with the world, you're going to get dirty. James 1, verse 27. James 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. By the way, church, there's some single mothers. There's some single grandparents that we ought to do our best to help them and be a blessing to them. We're not to shun them. We're to help them. And to keep himself, look, unspotted from the world. Now, there's the infiltration of worldliness, the process the world employs. The process is communication. Then it's contamination. And then it's a conformation or conforming to the world. Look in Romans 12 and 1. That's what the world wants us to do, is to conform to their ways. That's why, matter of fact, you're going to see this, I believe with all my heart, in the next 20 years. You're going to see where it will be handed down in Washington when a country preacher like what you've got this morning, as the other men that are sitting here, it will no longer be legal to preach sermons that I've preached here the last 20 years. You watch. All I can tell you, we'll just have to come off the internet. We'll have to come off the radio. And all I know to do, we're going to suffer a lot of persecution for the cause of Christ. You know, the 401c that churches have, which we don't belong to that. It's a state-affiliated registry where you don't pay tax. We pay all tax. We go to Sam's, we pay taxes. When you're a 401c registered church, did you know that preacher cannot stand up legally and preach to you the way I can preach to you this morning? Because if you go against their little government policies, they withhold their money. The North Carolina, remember the thing about the bathrooms that's so crazy? Well, now they're saying, look at all the revenue we're going to miss because all these entertainers and showboaters won't come to North Carolina. You know what I'd say? Just stay out of here. But this is where your government crumbles. Money. Look at the revenue we're losing. And so, this world system, they want to hand everything down from government to the church, to the home, to the schools. Let me tell you, I might not be the sharpest pencil in the box, but I wasn't born yesterday neither. Now, I'm going to tell you what, Satan is running this old world in such a system that is unbelievable. I seen a video this week. Well, at a courthouse, they had the Ten Commandments, the most beautiful stone you ever... I wish I had them on my property. They're beautiful. An old man had hewed them out, and they were out there with a wrecking crew taking them down off the state facility. And America wonders why America is crumbling. You don't go against God and the Bible and have success. Whether it's politics, whether it's school, church, or home, God's got to be in the center of what we're doing. Conforming to the world. Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God hung on a cross and saved you. It's our reasonable service to serve Him. Be not conformed. That let me tell you what this word means. It means don't be put in their mold. Don't be conformed, here it is, to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Process the world employs. The process is communication, contamination, and a confirmation or a conforming to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you in their mold. Don't let them squeeze you in their mold in the way you dress. Don't look at me funny. You ladies ought to dress decently. And let me ask this. I've heard this. Well, is this decent enough to wear to church? Why are you wearing it to Bell's? I just had that thought, but I'm glad I thought of it. Don't be conformed in dress. Don't be conformed in actions. The way the world does things. Don't be conformed in the places. Conforming. And then the condemnation, the process the world employs. There's condemnation with the world. 1 Corinthians 11:32. Watch your Bible right here. This is a great teaching. 1 Corinthians 11:32. Watch yourself. 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged, we're chastened to the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. What he's talking about here is we can lose our usefulness. Our testimony. For the, you know, there's a man here this morning. I won't call his name out. I won't embarrass anybody. This is what he said. He pulled up over there the other day at the cabin. And I said, well, do you know my friend so-and-so who goes to church? You know what that man said? He said, I've never seen a man's life change like that man. You see, you'll be non-effective being like the world. And go on and mark this down before I end this sermon, something that I've learned the hard way. Everybody ain't going to be for you. And everybody ain't going to speak positive about you, because Jesus said, woe be to those that everybody speaks good about. They talk bad about Him. They called Him a devil. And if you live for Christ, they're going to call you a devil because you won't get in their mold. Condemned with the world. Lot was condemned with the world. I believe Lot will be in heaven. I really believe that. But you listen to me. Lot pitched his tent toward that world, and the world sucked him up. He lost his family. What? How bad could it be that a man lead his family in the world but couldn't get them out of the world? He, Brother Lee, didn't the Bible say he vexed his righteous soul? You can be condemned with the world. You can lose your influence. This Bible says we're to be salt and light. Sure, we make mistakes. Absolutely. You're looking at one of the biggest mistakes. I make them every day. But let me tell you something, friend. When Jesus saves you, we ought to be different than how He found us. Or I'm convinced nothing never happened. I'm convinced. I got Bible to back it up. If you can live just like this world lives and go and do what they do and have that lifestyle of wickedness and sin and it don't bother you, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Now these preachers getting 50 professions at Walmart won't preach that. Say this prayer, come follow me. Let me tell you, when Christ moves in you, there will be a transforming. Information of worldliness, infiltration of worldliness. There's a process the world employs. Communication, contamination, confirmation, condemnation. But there's pressure the world exerts. The world puts pressures on us. You ever notice this in your job? You ever notice this in school? You've heard of peer pressure? All your children are experiencing what I'm fixing to preach. They're experiencing pressures. You go out into your job tomorrow. Wherever you go, you're going to experience pressure by three ways. And I want you to notice these pressures this morning. Not only the process the world employs, but the pressure the world exerts. First of all, in 1 John 2:16, back to that text, and I'm about done. 1 John 2:16. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, this is the pressure the world exerts, number one, in area of performance. The lust of the flesh. He says, for all that is in the world, in verse 16, is the lust of the flesh. You see, there's pressures on us by our flesh. It will have to do in the area of performance. Lust means desires, cravings, longings of the body. I've noticed this. We give our flesh, watch this, we give the sins of the flesh 1 inch, it becomes a ruler. I have never many times played with sin that before long it was playing me. So, I want to express this, the lust of the flesh. Number two, not only of performance, but possessions. You know that lust of the flesh, if you're not careful, it'll make you try to do things God don't intend you to do. I want. Gotta have. There's nothing wrong with having dream big. Dream big. Enjoy the blessing of God. But keep God where He's supposed to be. Possessions. Lust of the eyes. You ever went to a buffet? Me and Mr. Renee went to that green tomato place the other day. One of the first time I've been on. Man, we went out to church and I had to preach that night. I was loading that plate down, Brother Mike. I went to salad. Brother Dave, you've been proud of me. I went to that salad bar and I didn't even mess with it. I went over to that fried chicken. And I mean, I got down on something that would cost them something. You know what I'm talking about? I piled that thing up and sat down and I noticed something. My eyes was bigger than my appetite. You ever notice how your eyes get you in trouble? You ever been going through TV and all of a sudden you see something on there, you know that you need to keep a change and all of a sudden it gets your eyes. I know none of y'all got no problem. None of that. But you know, the lust of the eyes, the having to do with things that God never intended us associating ourselves with. Lust of the eyes. You know, Achan got in a lot of trouble when he saw and he took that, he seen that Babylonian garment, that wedge of gold and silver, and he run and got it. They were commanded not to take anything of that tribe. And he took it and he hid it in his tent because of his eyes. Young people, watch your eyes. Mom and daddies, you may be surprised at what your children are watching. Did you know them iPhones right there are amazing what comes up and you didn't even intend for it to come up? You know what I can say, and I don't gloat about it because I'm scared to death of it. I can honestly say this. Listen to me, young people, older people, and we're nobody's dummy. We're in an age of technology, real deal devil. All technology is not bad, but all of it ain't good either. But I can say this, by the grace of God, any of them things that's ever popped up on my computer has never been open. You know why I'm scared to death of it? I'm scared to death of it. I'm a saved man, but I'm human. And you better realize your boundaries. You're going to get in the world trouble. Now, possessions, the lust of the eyes. Thirdly, there no doubt are three pressures. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and here, the pride of life. Pride of life. You know what this simply means? It don't mean having pride in yourself and your job and your appearance and neatness and your vehicle looking nice, your lawn looking nice, your house being nice. I think God's children ought to keep things looking nice. But I tell you what it does mean. It means a boaster or a bragger. trying to be something in front of somebody else that you ain't. Pride of life. The pride of life puts on a big show for other people. Will Rogers said this. Why do people spend money that they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like? Can I say that again? Why do people spend money that they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't even like? Lastly, preaching about the world. There's the information of worldliness. What it is, what it's not. It's not the beauty of God's creation. It's not people. It's the system. The world order. No Bible in it. No God. Wouldn't it be something we had a politician that stood up and said, hey, ain't it amazing out of all this our time that we've seen from Trump and Hillary, we ain't seen nothing about God nowhere. Ain't that amazing to y'all? Ain't that amazing to y'all? That's why you need a preacher to preach the Bible to you, because you're not going to get it nowhere else. The information of worldliness, the infiltration of worldliness, but lastly, the insulation of worldliness. Now listen to me. We cannot do what God has called us to do and have isolation at the extent to going in a corn crib, sitting down with blinders on till church happens on Sunday. That's not what Jesus intended. When Jesus said, come to save us, after we get saved, He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Did you know Jesus wants you involved in winning somebody to Christ? He wants me and you involved in getting somebody to know His Son. The insulation of worldliness. I want to say this, first of all. Love the Lord exclusively. Look at 1 John 2:15 now, and I'm done. Love the Lord exclusively. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. Quit flirting with the world. Matthew 6:24. You won't have to turn there. I'll get it for you. Matthew 6. I want you to listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Insulated. We all got to go to work tomorrow. I'm leaving here in the morning. I'm driving out to start a meeting. I've got to go out into that world, but I don't need to be of the world. Do y'all understand that? You got to go to your job. You got to go out there into the world, but you don't have to be of the world. Love the Lord exclusively. Two, learn the lesson continually. Brother Mike read it, and the world passeth away. I want you to know something. Everything that you're building down here that's not for the glory of God, it's going to burn. Whoop, burn up. Pew. Pew. A lot of folks get tied up and all messed up over stuff. It don't even matter. It's going to burn up one day. Learn the lesson continually. Don't live for that which is passing. Look what it says. And the world passeth away. Boy, isn't that true? Hey, y'all remember all them folks who say, man, I love you. You my bud. But they got out of you what they wanted. You know what they got? They passed away. The world says, look at me. Try me. Buy me. Watch me. Experience me. Wear me. Taste me. Drive me. Fly me. Just passing away. You know why nobody ever gets consolation and peace in this old world? Because it's passing away. Jesus lives forever. Heaven is real. The insulation of worldliness. Love the Lord exclusively. Learn the lesson continually. But lastly, live the life spiritually. Verse 17. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. A life that is passing and a life that is permanent. You know what's so sad? I'm done. Do you know what's so sad? This is what, as a Christian, this is what ought to really grab my heartstrings. I watched a well-to-do banker. He really did good in life. I mean, he did. He gained. And if you would look at him as measure of success, he was very successful in life. Well, you know what? He died. His wife died. You know what me and my wife seen? We seen strangers pulling that man's yard, walked in his house and towed it off everything he'd ever worked for. Towed it off. Now, I'm not judging him. He met God just like me and you're going to meet him. And if he didn't know his son, he died and went to hell. You hear me? Just like me and you. If we don't know his son, we're going to die and go to hell. But why are you so caught up in a world that is passing instead of an eternal world that is not passing? I appreciate you being here this morning. I feel like it's very time. And this is what we've got to understand. We've all got children. We've all got grandchildren to raise. And you hear me, grandparents. You know what them grandbabies are going to do mostly? Not only what their mom and daddies are going to do, but what we're going to do. I believe God wants us to go out in the world and win souls to Christ and not be of the world. And listen to me, the last thing Christ wants is His church to look like the world. Everybody says old-time religion is dying. You take the surveys, it is. The places I go, you would not believe what I see. And I go to good churches. Good, solid Bible churches. You know what's busting at the seams and growing as a norm? Big worldly church. Smoke. There's a man told me the other day, moved in. He said, we go on the church, but said they cut all the lights off when we go in. I said, are you at a movie? I want the lights on. I guess if they wasn't ashamed of what they was doing, they could turn the lights on. That's all I know to say. Smog. You know, because everybody loves to be thrilled, entertained. What happened to Bible preaching and the Holy Ghost sets our heart afire and enjoy the goodness of God? What happened to them days? I love you. And I appreciate you being here this morning. And I want to tell you something. Jesus died for you. And you can go to heaven to live with God if you'll trust His Son. If you don't, you're going to hell in your sin. But I appreciate you being here this morning. Let's stand around the house. I'm going to get Miss Sherry to come today. I want her to come. I don't feel a pressing need giving an invitation this morning. But I tell you what I would like to do. I want Miss Sherry to play just a minute. I want you to reach your hand out and tell folks.